if we could move away from judgment of one another and into curiosity, into questions. Tell me more. One of my friends in Minnesota is Muslim. And he said, I like talking to you because you never judge me. You just ask me questions because you want to learn. You don't want to judge me or shame me. You just want to understand. For me, the Bible makes so much sense. It is sometimes in my head easy to think, how do you not know Jesus? Like, he's amazing. But then other times I think, I am blessed that I hear the voice of God. I am blessed that God talks to me. He meets me in my quiet. He wakes me up. And I know not everybody gets that.
You are now listening to the podcast where authors inspire listeners to become authors, the Going North Podcast. I'm your host, certified self-leadership trainer, best-selling author, and book enthusiast, Dom Brightman. And you're going to be listening to a different author that will inspire you to join the business of immortality, known as authorship. Now let the fun begin. Today's episode is sponsored by the GoingNorthPodcast.com shop. It is going to help you have northbound direction to your own success. If you want a great inspirational quote like advance others to advance yourself, or today a reader, tomorrow a leader, heck, even some puns like pile on and always fully booked on your tote bag, mug, hoodie, heck, even a t-shirt, and many, many other items. Head over to GoingNorthPodcast.com, click on the shop tab, and cop yourself some merchandise indeed. And that's GoingNorthPodcast.com/shop. And today on the Highlight Reel Builder for Authors, known as the Going North Podcast, we got another super special, awesome human for you today, courtesy of PodcastGuest.com, wonderful site where, folks, if you want to set up one page website or a one-page site for you and your business and your profiles, podcast guests, or should I say podcast hosts, invite you to be a guest on the show. You can do just that or have your podcast in an email blast to thousands of people. And today's guest is one of those lucky folks who made it through the wonderful haystack of wonderful humans, because today's wonderful human who made it through the haystack is more wonderful than others, is an award-winning author, y'all, an award-winning author. So she's not only beautiful and blue, she rocks blue ribbon, y'all. She's a mom, a wife, an international keynote speaker, results consultant, certified coach, as well as a certified mental wellness expert. Let's give it up for Miss AM in the PM, or the AM if you're listening in the morning, the amazing and marvelous Annie Meehan. How you doing today, Annie?
Hey, Dom. Thanks so much for having me and that beautiful introduction. Who is that amazing woman? Oh, my gosh. Thank you. Happy to be here.
Yeah, that's right. Indeed. Can't spell Annie without amazing, y'all. They're in the same alphabet for a reason. That's right. Indeed. That's right. Can't go too far. But hey, as with all amazing intros, and not allowed to be, I don't know, 83 days long, it probably only covered, I don't know, 83 seconds. So my goodness, any cavities I may have missed about you that makes you the Annie that you are today?
I'm an overcomer. I'm a believer that wherever you come from, whatever you've gone through, you can become anything you want if you're willing to do the work, Dom. A lot of people visualize it. I'm just willing to go to work. So my two nicknames are Authentically Annie and Do It Annie, because I'll get it done.
There you go, Miss D-I-A, the Dia. Do it, Annie. That's right, indeed. She gets her done. That's right, indeed. A.K.A. Done It Annie. She's done it before, probably. That's right, indeed. Because she's been through a lot. Because my goodness, you actually were on Oprah at like the age of 17, right?
18 years old. They invited me at 17 and I turned 18 before I was actually flown out there to be on the show. Yeah. I don't talk a lot about that, Dom, because it was a hard time in my life. But if we want to talk about it, I'm happy to share it with you, that story.
Sure thing, because hey, folks are probably like, who's this pretty lady who's Dom got today? And it's like, hey, the past wasn't that pretty, y'all.
Exactly. I was nominated to be a guest on her show because I went to a place a lot called The Bridge for Runaway Youth. So by the time I was 18, I had moved 83 times. And I grew up the middle child of seven in a pretty dysfunctional family raised by a single mom who struggles with mental illness, undiagnosed and untreated mental illness. She's still living. She's 95. But I kind of grew up in a hoarder house, and I did grow up in a hoarder house, but she would kick us out a lot because she'd get overwhelmed. And so Oprah contacted, or her producer contacted, this place called The Bridge for Runaway Youth. And I wasn't really a runaway, but she would just not be able to handle us. So she just kicked us all out. And they called me an extraordinary teenager. But I will say that when I was on that show, I had dropped out of high school. I was working three jobs supporting my 15-year-old brother. And the show was about living on the street as a teen. And I wish so much, Dom, that I could see Oprah again, because I heard her speak and she said, I didn't really start helping people with a mission behind my shows till 1997, but it was actually in 86 that I was on the show. And literally she was the first woman that like saw me and told me that I could be anything and that my past didn't have to define my future. And she shared about her own story and her own struggles with her dad and with her uncle, and that she had built this extraordinary life. And so it was an enormous impact on me. So I would love to meet her just to say thank you. Like, you don't know, I felt so invisible and you made me wonder. It still really took me about 3 years after the show to start to believe what she had said to me, but it was amazing. And the show was hard because the audience didn't understand where we were coming from. It was myself, a teenager from LA and a teenager from Chicago, and what it was like to live on the street and to be homeless as a young girl.
Yeah, and it's kind of weird how folks back then would have that mentality, because it's like, dude, it's a girl who's been to so many homes, 83 different ones, no less, before the age of 18. Like, my God, like, you think compassion would be a thing back then. It's like, sometimes folks be like, oh God, what happened to compassion? But it's like, human nature's a weird thing. It's been around for generations, sadly.
Yeah, that's very true. And Dom, that was my, as an adult now looking back, because really I was a little girl in so many ways, is that the audience judged rather than wondered. They didn't have compassion or curiosity. They had judgment of, why would you do that to your parents? What? And it's like, wait a minute, I didn't run away. My mom kicked me out. My mom locked the door in the dead of winter in Minnesota. And, you know, and she did the best she could. She couldn't do what we needed. And so Oprah gave us that compassion after the show, but the audience was like, what's wrong with you? That's selfish. And one of the girls, not me, that was wiser than I, said, it's a lot easier to be hurt and abused by strangers than by people who are supposed to love you. And that has always stuck with me, that when I get to work with foster parents or organizations that serve young people, to understand that your perspective, your assumption, your perspective of how life is not necessarily true for all people. And instead of assuming and judging, be curious and wonder. And that is always questions, not statements. Statements usually come with a form of judgment. And so, yeah, it was, and Oprah was amazing. Like, she wasn't the Oprah. It was 5 days before she was nationally syndicated. And I wrote her many letters over the years just to say, hey, it turned out for me. Like, I was kind of a loser. And people are like, you weren't a loser. You were supporting your brother. Like, you did cool stuff. You just couldn't finish school. But she put us up in the Knickerbocker Hotel, said, order as much room service as you want. I'm like a hungry 18-year-old, like, okay, I'm going to order it all. Like, hello, I got to ride around in Oprah's limo when the phones were in the limo. I'm calling my friends in Minneapolis. They're like, what? I'm like, I don't know. So there was a lot of cool parts, but it was a really, really, really challenging time in my life and a very hopeless time. And so I felt really like, I didn't deserve to be on the show, or why would I be chosen? But today I look back and I've done a lot of amazing things, and I continue to surprise myself. Like I said, with the intro, I'm not kidding. I'm always like, who is that person? Because I thought I was so stupid and worthless as a child. And so to get to where I am, and Oprah was a piece of that for sure.
Indeed. It's right indeed. Because the thing is, went from hopeless to hope, because if I'm not mistaken, you're also a fellow believer too, right?
Amen. Absolutely. And I told someone yesterday, I said, you know, when they said, when did your life really change? And I said, when I decided to believe what God thought about me rather than what I thought about me.
That's what I'm talking about. Indeed. It's like, because we beat ourselves way too much at times. It's like, hey, God created us and we're wonderfully made. It's like, hey, all the things that may look like flaws are somebody else's treasure indeed, especially God's indeed. So when did it become real for you to become full Christian and take the full step into the faith?
Yeah, I was raised Catholic. And so it was more of a a weapon, like you have to go to church every Sunday. And if you don't go, you're bad and you're not going to, you got to try and get to heaven. And then when you like realize, wait a minute, I cannot get there. I am messy and complicated. So at 23, I got confirmed in the Catholic Church. And for me, that meant just like deciding, like, I really want to know who God is. But at 30, I was a mom with three little kids and somebody invited me to a Bible study. And I was like, I don't think I'm supposed to do that. I think only the priest should read the Bible. And they said, there's free donuts and free childcare. And I said, I am in, sign me up. And so I went for the donuts and the childcare. And I remember calling my mom on the way home saying, hey, I just went to this Bible study. And these women are praying out loud and talking about Jesus. And I don't know what to think. And she said, well, it's not right. Only the priests are supposed to do it. Luckily, I did not listen to my mother. And for 25 years, I've been studying the Word of God and really being able to share God's love with people in a million different ways. And sometimes by saying Jesus and sometimes by saying God and sometimes just meeting people where they're at and loving on them and being the hands and feet. What a privilege to serve people with a heart of Christ and to bring love and hope into people, especially the hopeless, especially those struggling in poverty of mindset, poverty of finances, poverty of relationships, and to show them that God thinks they're extraordinary and he doesn't make mistakes. So yes, amazing.
Amazing indeed. Amazing indeed. And good thing you didn't listen to her at that instance, because that's the thing. It's like we're not in the 1500s anymore, y'all. It's like, dude, like, come on. Like, if for all you know, jokingly one day, if the priest is in the silly mood, he could be like, yes, we must pray to a cactus in 2 days, y'all. Like,
exactly. Right. And I'm like, Mom, did God breathe his word for only 10 people, for only priests? Like, there's a million people. I remember the first time I heard a woman preach, and I heard like a wife preach and a husband preach and parents preach. Like, I didn't know. And just actually, Dom, so amazing, because God does not call the equipped. He equips the called. So we're survivors of the hurricane, and we lived on Seven Mile Beach or Island, and all seven churches were blown out. There were seven churches on the 7 miles. So for the first time in 50 years, they weren't going to have a sunrise service. I reached out to all the churches, nobody doing it. And so Easter of last year, I said, you know what? I'm going to do a sunrise service. I'm not a priest. I'm not a pastor, but I love the Lord and I know he loves us. And this island needs restoration and healing more than ever. And so I thought, well, if 5 people show up, that's pretty good. 10, pretty amazing. 20 would be phenomenal. 150 people showed up, Dom. We broke bread together. We read scripture. We prayed. I played music. We sang. And people hung out afterwards and said, thank you. Thank you for providing a space to pray and to heal on an island that is broken when the churches were too overwhelmed to do it. And so, I'm so grateful that I didn't listen and that I realize all of us, any of us, can share the good news of God and the encouragement and the love that Jesus came to show us, right?
Right indeed. Because, hey, it's right indeed. Just sharing the good word, that's all. Right indeed. It's all it is sharing. Sharing is caring.
That's right. Sharing is caring. Yes. Yes. Yes.
Yes, ma'am. Indeed. So my goodness. So if I'm not mistaken, you got 8 magical books out there, right?
I do. Good job, Dom. Like, one of them just came out in August. So my 8th book came out in August, and I'm dyslexic and I have ADHD. And so reading has always been hard for me. And yet today I can write books, and that is by a miracle of God. And not only can I write them, people read them and are inspired by them. And so the second book won a national award, and the 8th book just came out, Choose to Soar, which is inspired by the hurricane, but really is about disruption that we all face in business, in life, in our relationships, in our finance, whatever it is. Like, disruption can happen, but it doesn't have to define us. And I think that God did create us to not settle, but to soar above, to not just survive, but to thrive above our circumstances. And so for me, I know that there have been times in my life that I have allowed my circumstances or my disruptions and my circumstances to define me. And I meet people all the time that say, well, I'm divorced. Well, I've had cancer. And I'm like, that's a sliver of you. I have ADHD. I have dyslexia. It will not define me. I will keep writing books and reading books or learning or hiring coaches to partner with me, because there's been a word laid on me. And I love, Dom, that you said you're a Christian, because for me, I think we have a lot of calls in our life when we know Jesus, but one of the biggest calls is end empty, use what I gave you. And I don't want even though things are hard for me, which they are, I might make them look easier than they are, but it's hard for me to write. It's hard for me to read. But I get up every day and I think, who's one person I can help with my spoken or written word? And I just like, Lord, use me and use all that I've overcome to help one person today, just one person. And so that keeps me going, even when it's hard.
There you go. That's right indeed. Sometimes as hard as a pillow, sometimes as hard as a whole house of bricks. That's right indeed. That's right indeed. Maybe even five boulders. That's right indeed. Maybe a city of boulders.
That's right. The city built on the rock, right?
That's right indeed. It's got to be a small city. I know Dwayne Johnson's the big guy, but shoot, like, it's only like 6'5". Like,
oh, the rock.
Oh, man. So, my goodness. So, having dyslexia and ADHD, but still publishing 8 books and probably got, I don't know, maybe 8 more on the way. Like, what helped you to finally get that confidence to put pen to paper and join the business of immortality?
Yeah, that's good. I do have 8 more. Actually, on Sunday, I started 8 more. Is that ridiculous, Dom, or what? I'm a big starter. I'm an activator, right? So I have these short, small books that are like gift books, the Fruit series. And then I have deeper books, more books. What got me to do it is that I've been journaling for a long time and releasing. And so I was really writing a memoir called Dumpster to Dynasty. But then I met someone who's a book coach, and she said, don't write Dumpster to Dynasty. Instead, write Be the Exception. Teach us, how did you break the cycles? How did you rewrite the stories? So whenever I'm working on a writing project, I always have a partner. Sometimes I have multiple partners, but I always have at least one person alongside me saying, Annie, what you're saying is like, ding, 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 ding. It's not making sense. Or Annie, okay, tell me more on this story. Why does it matter? And how does it help me? So I'm always trying to write with the listener in mind, with the reader in mind, whatever they're going through. Can I write in a way that is relatable, conversational, and helpful? And so that's what kind of keeps me motivated. And when I think of a new idea, I like start writing on it and I start dreaming about it. And who could this help? I always think about, who am I writing to? Who am I talking to? How can I teach them in a way that's simple and visual? I don't like lots of steps. I like things simple and clear so that the reader can apply what they read right away and it can support them on their journey. So yeah, I'm always creating.
So any details on what to expect from book number 9 then, or is that G14 classified?
Definitely not classified. I'm working on a fruit basket of life lessons. So life lessons from fruit. So I have a pineapple, I have a banana. Now I've started an avocado, an olive, a tomato, an apple, something else, a watermelon. So I've started these 6, and they're just little gift books, like 60 pages of just wisdom, but cute poems and stories and recipes and analogies. And then I have 3 more full books that I'll write in the next couple of years. So one is called The Ride of a Lifetime, and it's based on my bicycle ride from Minneapolis to Chicago to raise money for AIDS and what I learned along the way and the lessons I want to teach other people about setting audacious goals that aren't about what's in it for me, but what a difference they'll make in the world. The next book is called Who Lit Your Path, and it's beyond mentorship and heroes into the moments that made a difference in our lives, from Oprah to a man on a paper route, and how people apply that to themselves, not only what they learn, what they experience, but how they're paying it forward. And what was my 3rd one? I wrote these down because I have to start writing. I'm like, okay, I can't even remember what it was. Oh, I know, a really important book that I've already started. It's called 3 to the Many Sides of Adoption. So it's contributions from birth parents that have placed children, adoptees that have been adopted, and adoptors that have adopted children, and to offer more healing and hope around adoption rather than hurt and abandonment. So I've already collected, I interview people for that. And I probably already have 50 or more stories. I want 100 before I release it to the world. So about 30 some from birth parents, 30 some from adoptees, and 30 from adoptors, so that we can offer more healing around adoption. So those are my 8 books that I'm working on, Dom. I don't have much going on.
There we go. That's a good one indeed. Yeah, because there's a lot of kids out there who need to be adopted, sadly, because of circumstances. And there are folks who are on the other side where it's like, hey, turned out all right. Turned out all right indeed. That's right indeed. Because, hey, man, he turned out amazing. She went through a bunch of homes and she came out the other side brighter than three diamonds. She's got platinum mode going on indeed. And it's kind of funny, you got the whole fruit basket thing going on. So is the banana going to be bountiful bananas, like stories to inspire your inner crazy creative or something like that?
There you go. So the banana book's already released. The pineapple and banana are released. And banana is called Bruised to Beautiful. Because people always said I was lemon to lemonade. And I say, no, I wasn't. I needed more than sugar and water to get to where I was. So I used banana that could be thrown away into sweet banana bread. And I'm going to do a Fruit of the Spirit book as well. So, yeah, all the fruit.
Oh, well, there we go. All right. So that means you're going to be seeing Annie one day in a random church with a fruit basket on her head. That's right, indeed. All the fruit baskets. That's right, indeed. A bunch of fruit, y'all. Fruits of the Spirit. You're going to be like, man, now that's what I call illustration right there. That's right, indeed. She's living it.
Make it visual. Always make it visual is one of mine. Make it simple, make it visual. So those of us that learn different can still learn.
There you go. That's right, indeed. She's a brain maker and a bread maker. That's right, indeed. In this case, a bread winner. A banana bread winner.
Banana bread. I like it. Why not?
So what have you learned? What would you consider your two major lessons learned about yourself from all these books you got out there and the ones you're still writing today?
It's a good question. I think the major lesson and the thing that I love to show and teach individuals and parents and grandparents is all things are possible. And just because you have dyslexia or ADHD doesn't mean there's something wrong with you. You learn differently, but we all learn differently. And so books have helped me realize how much I can accomplish if I put my mind to it and get the right support system. So that's a huge lesson, is that you can write a book even if reading's still hard for you. You can write a book even if you don't know how to spell. You just might have to have a lot of support along the way. Another lesson and privilege that makes me teary when I think about it is the privilege of, there's a lot of people in this world that I will never meet, but that will read my written or hear my spoken word, and the privilege of the platform to influence those lives for good. And so often people write to me, which I love that. I love the personal notes and messages and whatever, and say, I read your book. It changed my life. I read your book and I've been carrying it in my purse for 6 months because I've been diagnosed, because I'm going through a divorce, because my mother died. And they use my words and my work to help them heal, to help them keep going, to support them on their journey. And I often say, I never want to save anybody and I never want to shame anybody, but I always want to support you on your journey. We don't need saving and shaming. We need support on our journey. And so it is a privilege for me to know that my written and spoken work helps support people through the hardest times of their life.
So let Christ do the saving then. That's what it sounds like.
Amen. Yes, indeed. That is not my job. I used to think it was. I used to try to make him like, I got this. Nope, you're not actually in charge. Isn't that weird when you figure out you're not in charge? Dumb. For years, I thought I was in charge.
It can be liberating though, because it's like, man, after doing all this work, it's like, man, the promotion of to doing nothing, sign me up.
Sign me up, right?
Yeah. It's like a day off, it's cabin.
Hallelujah. Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. A day off. I like that. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. My goodness. So with all this wonderful business that you're doing, you're an inspirational figure, especially for the Christian entrepreneurs. So my goodness. So since you're an entrepreneur, there's going to be some setbacks along the way. So what would you consider your major setback in business that actually became a major setup for success?
Isn't that funny, Don, how a door has to close for us to sometimes recognize, oh, I wasn't supposed to go that way. You know, we had a lot of success with our gyms, but in the end, our second one, the person walked out owing us $70,000. And what it did for me, because of COVID and whatever, what it did for me is just more head down on speaking, right? Sometimes I get turned down by a conference and I get so discouraged because we've had interviews and I think they love me and of course they're going to pick me, and they pick someone else, and I've learned to pray for who they chose in their conference. And I always think detours aren't dead ends. detours are just, oh, you're not going that, you're going to go this way. And so, I mean, there's always setbacks. There's always people that I think are going to pick me as a coach, that are going to pick me to be their keynote. And then for whatever reason, it doesn't work out. And people say, hey, Annie, you are so good at sales. I'm like, oh no, I'm really good at rejection. Because you get a lot more no's than you get yeses in this world. But when you know you have a message, when you know God has given you the gift of words to pour into people, well, sometimes I get sick or sometimes I get that rejection and it gives me a moment to rest, to sit and refill so that I can pour into people again. And so I can do the good work that I've been called to do. And there's parts of my story I don't love sharing. And there's times when I feel called to, and there's other times when it says, no, just focus on the franchise or focus on success. There's other times, but when you get real with people, when you show them that it's been hard for you, really hard, lots of disruptions, you know, even this dream of moving to the beach, 30 years, Dom, 30 years, I dreamed it. I visualized it. I was so happy about it. And 11 months in, the hurricane hits. And I want to curl up in a ball. And why do I want to help other people? I can't even help myself. And then something happens and someone says yes. And I go, wait a minute, that was just a detour. Keep going. You're going to face other disruptions. Everybody faces them. Don't let them define you. And so always there's detours for me, Dom. All people will say, how are you the exception? I say, oh, I'm not. I wrote the book, but I have to get up and do it again every day. I have to start my day between 4 and 5 a.m. reading God's word, asking God his plans, because I got plans and I got to slow down to listen to his plans so I can move forward. And so there's a lot of things I do every day. Movement is medicine for me. I go for a walk every day, whether I feel like it or not. I read God's word every day, whether I feel like it or not, because those are the things that keep me grounded for the disruptions that are coming, for the interruptions that are coming, for the rejections that are coming. And it's never easy, but it is so rewarding to help other people soar on their journey, to discover their gifts, to look in the mirror and see the beauty that they are, not only physically, but as a human being, and the gifts that the world needs from them. And I get to be a piece of that. And it is tremendously rewarding for me.
There you go. All the rewards indeed. So my goodness. So I'm guessing no gym business at all left for you then? Or just full-time speaking at this point?
Speaking, coaching, and writing. Yeah, full-time.
There you go. There you go indeed. That's right indeed. Heck, you even mentioned waking up at 4 or 5 a.m. to read God's word. So do you have a specific night routine that you do? Since a lot of folks always talk about morning routines, but hey, a good day starts the night before.
That's right. It really does. Well, a big part of my evening routine is that I go to bed early. I go to bed pretty early and I probably miss out on some fun that people are having, but I don't mind because my body needs the sleep. So I go to bed consistently. I listen to meditation sometimes at night, not always, but sometimes. I try to be in bed by 9:30 at the latest, 90% of the time. Like, people make fun of me. I'm like, I don't care. Make fun of me. I feel great when I get up in the morning. I feel energized when I get up in the morning because I have that bedtime consistency and routine. Unwinding is so important. I'm a big walker. As I said, movement's my medicine. So I really try to walk every morning. I'm walking with my dog, but in the evening, walking with my husband right after dinner is a great routine for calming down my physical, mental, emotional body and preparing me to rest. Prayer in the evening, being grateful, dinner time together, just simple things that growing up without any routines and rituals. I say I'm not a rule lover, and sometimes rules feel constraining and controlling, especially if they've been taken advantage of, but routines and rituals and having systems in place so that I can rest well, calming down my body so that I can get up refreshed and be refilled by God's word and by movement. And honestly, I always say taking care of yourself is never selfish, it's self-full. And growing up with parents that didn't do that, weren't capable of doing that, didn't ever gave me the kind of parent that I wish I could have, but I got to become that by learning to take care of myself, learning to trust God's plans for me, trust God's belief in me better than I trusted myself. So, yeah.
Good deal. That's right indeed. Good idea about walking after dinner. It's like, yeah, let's not curl over and be a turtle. Let's walk off the calories.
And just, it feels good. You feel better. You sleep better. Your stomach's not just, oh, I'm going to sit and veg in front of the TV. I'm not a big TV watcher. I like Shark Tank because I like new ideas and creative ideas, but rom-coms and Shark Tank are kind of the extension of my TV ability. So.
At least it's some besides rom-coms. That's good. It's like, oh no.
That's what my husband said. He's like, you go to a rom-com and I'm in trouble and I didn't even do anything, but you expect men to be perfect and talkative and romantic. I'm like, why not? He's like, oh my gosh. So unrealistic. My wedding was like a 45-minute warning by the priest to my husband, like, are you sure you want to marry her? She is unrealistic. She thinks Cinderella is a true story. She wants to live happily ever after and jump up and down every time she walks in the house. Is that going to happen? I'm like, his friends were laughing like, oh my, that was the weirdest homily. I'm like, hey, the priest knew me since I was 11 years old. I was one of the first altar girls. He's like, who are you? I'm like, I don't know. I was blessed to hear the voice of God, and I believe things can be good, even though life doesn't always prove that to be true. I still will always believe.
Well, that's good, because actually, when you're telling me that story, kind of reminded me of the social media image that popped up in my feed a couple weeks ago, where this guy was standing beside his bride. I think the priest was reading something, but in big bold letters on his smartphone, it said, "Help me."
Right? What am I doing?
It's almost in reverse. We're gonna
help
lose.
Me. Yeah.
Yeah, but it's all good. So my goodness, since you've been on so many interviews promoting the work that you're doing, is there a question that you wish folks would ask you more often when you're on the guest side of the game?
I think, how do we encourage more people to believe in themselves and believe in the good? So many people are spreading the bad and the negative, and I'm just like, just be a pineapple. Just be happy and kind. Be the kind. If you can't find it, don't repeat the negative. Instead, be the kind. Be the encourager. Be the believer. Be the curious one. I think, you know, if we could move away from judgment of one another and into curiosity, into questions. Tell me more. One of my friends in Minnesota is Muslim. And he said, I like talking to you because you never judge me. You just ask me questions because you want to learn. You don't want to judge me or shame me. You just want to understand. For me, the Bible makes so much sense. It is sometimes in my head easy to think, how do you not know Jesus? Like, he's amazing. But then other times I think, I am blessed that I hear the voice of God. I am blessed that God talks to me. He meets me in my quiet. He wakes me up. And I know not everybody gets that. And I guess how to be less judgmental is really to lean in to what doesn't make sense and to ask the questions, to show up with wonder and curiosity, not judgment. And we just live in a hurting world. And I just think Jesus, I wish everyone could know him like I know him. Like, he showed us. I loved watching The Chosen. And I don't know why, but for me, the disciples cracked me up when they're like, can we beat these guys up? Like, they're real. And she's like, no, no. And I'm like, they're so dumb. And then I'm like, we're so dumb. And not in a judgmental way, but like, we're such ding-dongs. We're always, but can we judge them? But we can we be? And Jesus saying, no, just keep your arms open. Keep your home open. Welcome people in that believe different than you, that look different than you, that think different than you. And learn to understand them and love them. Because nothing will draw someone more to Jesus than a Christian showing, truly, authentically showing love to another human being. So that's what I want to be. That's what I want to do. I don't know. Did I answer your question? I don't even know, Dom. I think I just went off on a tangent there. I couldn't help myself.
Oh, there you go. Ain't nothing wrong with that, indeed. It's like, yep, love everybody. And the folks in the crowd are like, man, even Zachary? It's like, yes, even Zachary. And Zachary's like, ha, take that, losers. And the Lord's like, ah, not now, Zachary.
Yes. Yes. And yes, all of the above. Yes.
There you go. How can we spread positivity and love? Just do it, y'all. Unconditionally. That's right, indeed. Put kindness into the world. That's right, indeed. That's right, indeed. You don't have to buy everybody a heart-shaped mattress. Don't worry. It's smaller ways.
Small ways. That's right. I say, like a lot of people say, an apple a day keeps the doctor away. I'm like, a Dove Love a day. Go get those little Dove Love chocolates, have a bag of them, and just randomly pass them out, leave them on someone's door, do something. I'm like, that one little piece of dark chocolate, which is kind of good for you, and a love note that says, you have a beautiful smile, I'm thinking of you, inside of that little piece of candy is kindness. And it's not hard. It's not hard to be kind. We make it hard, but you can smile at someone. You can give an encouraging word. You can say you like someone's earring. You like their pants. Nice to meet you. You can look up at the cashier. Whatever it is, like, it it doesn't take money or time to be a difference maker. It just takes intention, deciding, and then doing.
I'm talking about in days. I'm talking about in days. That's right. So hear that right, folks. That's right. If you want to capture Nanny, leave a random trail of Dove chocolates, dark chocolate. That's right.
I will definitely follow them. That is a great trap. Oh, here we go. Where am I going? I know that danger. Don't say that, Dom. That's probably a true story. I'll be dangerous. I'll be like, look, there's Dove Love. My husband will be like, where are you going? I'm like, I'm going to Dove Love. I gotta go. Oh my gosh.
That's right indeed. So if you're a friend of Annie's husband, and if you want to save your friend after a rom-com they watch, just do that. Let's talk. Trap her
away. Give her some Dove Love. She'll be happy as can be. Even the name, Dove Love. Like, I just love it. Dove Love. Yes. Yes.
Well, speaking of chocolate, fun question for you. If your fabulous book, Choose to Soar, Navigating Disruption in Business and Life, if that book were a food, what would it be and why?
Oh, that's a great question, Dom. And you know, the first thing that pops in my head is it would be a warm bowl of soup. Because it would be, I thought you were going to say if it was a thing, I was going to say a blanket. But it would be a warm bowl of soup. To bring comfort and warmth and calm to disruption. Because disruption takes the air out of our lungs and sometimes slips the rug from under our feet. But a warm bowl of soup is more than just food. It is comfort. It is stability. It's bringing us back to ourselves. It slows us down because you have to eat soup slowly. And that's what it would be. It would be a warm bowl of soup to bring comfort and stability and warmth into the chaos of disruption and fear.
There you go, folks. A bowl of soup, y'all. That's right indeed. That's right indeed.
And a piece of Dove Love after the bowl of soup. For their a Dove Love. No, a bowl of soup with a little Dove Love after. How about that?
There you go. That's right indeed. And then when you see the Dove Love chocolate, you pull up your fingers like the old guy from Coming to America after the bowl of soup and be like, ha, I got the chocolate.
Love that movie. That's a rom-com. That's a great movie. So sweet.
I couldn't help myself when you said a bowl of soup. But
I forgot that totally. I just saw like comfort. I saw like mushroom soup. And then I was like, not everybody loves mushroom soup. Maybe chicken and dumpling soup. That seems more comforting. Yeah.
Yeah. Because you know,
nobody's ever asked me that, Dom. That was a good question.
Oh, my pleasure, D. It's not your average ordinary bear podcast. I want to get you thinking.
I like it.
That's right, indeed. Yogi Bear is actually Yogi here. He wears yogi pants for a reason. Yoga pants for a reason. You thought it was Spanx for men? Nope, it's Spanx for bears.
People just listen to your show just for your laugh, Dom. You got a good laugh. You got a good laugh there.
Yeah. It's funny what happens when you get out there. Folks be like, your laugh's amazing. I'm like, oh, for real? I didn't even know that was a thing. All right. Well, we're coming down to the magical question that every guest gets to receive, and that is, if you're to wake up tomorrow and you're 25 again, but you're still in the current year, what advice would you give to yourself?
Gonna get better. Keep believing. Keep going. Know that where you are is not where you'll end up. Know that you're worth more than you can even imagine. And just keep going.
There you go. Just keep going, y'all. That's right, indeed. Keep that foot on the gas. Keep those fins up like you're in Finding Nemo or Finding Dory. Just keep on swimming, y'all. That's right, indeed. Water, what's that? This is air to a fish. You'll be fine. That's right. Just keep on going. That's right, indeed. That's right. That's right, indeed. Well, folks need to keep on going to all of Annie's wares and goodies because she's cranking out a whole bunch of it. So for those who need to keep with your journey and cop some copies of your magical books and even put a pineapple hat on their head or wear a whole pineapple suit, what's the best way for folks to do so?
Oh, my goodness. Well, my books are on Amazon. They're on my website. But right now, I really love people to follow me on YouTube because I'm trying to like pour these videos that if you can never meet me in person or coach with me or hire me to speak to your audience, you can still just get a little bit of the Annie factor. That's what people are like. I watch your YouTube and I feel like you love me. I feel like you're having coffee with me. Like you genuinely care. And I'm like, I do. And so I love people to meet me on YouTube. I love them to connect on LinkedIn. But just, I hope that my words help one person. Somebody told me yesterday, hope. I said, every day I get up and I ask myself, who can I help today? One person in an audience of thousands, in a small group of coaching, one person. And she said, oh, it's hope. Help one person every day. And I was like, oh, I love that. So yes, LinkedIn or YouTube, Annie Meehan, please reach out. Say that you heard me here. I would love that. Tell me what food your book is. I love that. What about you, Dom? Do you got a book?
I've got four. Here's gonna count the fourth one because that was a more of a reprise of something else. But yeah, four books. I'll go with the second. Well, actually, the upcoming book. We'll go with that one. Book five. That one's definitely going to be a power bar. That's right. It's a protein bar. Goodness, it'll get you going. It's nice and small. Get to devour quickly. That's right, indeed, since folks got small attention spans.
That's right. That's why I do the little books, too. Little books, little words, or big words, few words on a page. So they can read a page a day, a little bit of protein pack. I love it. Perfect. So, nice.
Yeah, well, you heard that right, folks. So subscribe to Annie's YouTube channel, follow her on the LinkedIn's, keep up with all of her magical content, y'all. That's right, indeed. That's right, indeed. So one day you, too, may be in a limo with a phone. That's right, indeed. That's right, indeed. And then have a whole movie made about you. That's right, indeed. Because if I'm not mistaken, because it's kind of funny, it just hopped in my head today. Like, wait a second, Meehan. Wait a second, the Thomas Meehan. He's the guy who wrote the Annie movie in the book.
Oh, yeah. And I say that to people sometimes. Little Orphan Annie really is my story. It's just a little different. I didn't get adopted by Daddy Warbucks. But, oh, yeah, I forgot about that. And a one woman that met me at something, she said, you know, they're going to make a show about your story someday. And I was like, I don't know. And then other people, you're going to be on Oprah again and tell her how far you've come since she met you and, you know, and your journey. But when I write her letters, sometimes I do just to say thank you. I just get an automatic response saying, Oprah gets 100,000 letters a day. Thank you for, and I'm like, it's okay. I don't have to thank her. I can thank God. And I wrote about her in my second book, just that it was a life-changing experience for me, but I don't have to have that.
Oh, don't worry. The musical's coming too. That's right, indeed. Except it'll be all pineapples.
Exactly. Pineapple people. That's my vision, is to do a movement of 1 million people that become pineapple people and say, Annie Meehan taught me it's simple to change the world. It's not the news. It's not politicians, not even religion. It is just being a pineapple. And somebody that people that are Christians go, you're really showing them Jesus. I'm like, however you see it, we're supposed to see value and be sweet to one another, first to ourselves. And so we can be to one another. And it's a joy. Pineapple people. Yes. A musical. Dancing pineapples. I see it now, Dom. I'm getting very excited.
That's right, indeed. And it ends with everybody getting in the shape of a wonderful, wonderful cake pan. And then they make banana bread. That's right, indeed.
Or pineapple upside down cake with banana bread next. I mean, we could have a whole bakery. See, that's going to be the goal. Key lime pie. It's going to be amazing.
There you go. That's right, indeed. Key lime pie, the keystone to your success. That's right, indeed. Is it the lime? Is it the key lime? Is it the cream? Who knows? Nobody knows. Find out in the next book.
The next book is coming soon. Coming soon. And then we'll do a series of them on Audible once I have 10. So then people can listen to it if they don't have time to read. So, or they learn different.
Yeah, that's right, indeed. So they're right, folks. So be on the lookout. That's right, because she's going places, because she ain't done going places. She's got many more places to touch down in indeed. So join her on a journey and keep up what she's doing, because AF has a new meaning, the Annie factor. So loving AF is actually loving the Annie factor, y'all. That's right, indeed. That's right, indeed. Well, any parting words before we close up shop, Annie?
Be sweet. Costs nothing. Changes the world. Be sweet.
If you're hearing this part of the episode, that means you're one cool individual. Thanks a bunch for tuning in, and if you enjoyed what you heard, be sure to share it with at least one other person in your network. Bonus points for three, and be sure to check out the backlog too while you're at it, because there are hundreds of wonderful episodes to choose from as well.